just random questions that we will get answers to at the end. If I don't forget, please remind me if I do forget. I'm glad that you're here. I'm thankful to see that there are people that care about electronics and what they mean and how to use them and so on. And I venture to guess that we won't answer questions in this class so much as make you think about how you use electronics and why. We have a verse in the Bible that says, "Be still and know that I am what?
God.
Be still and know that I am God." We also have in Acts about the men of Athens, how they, all they lived for, basically, it seems like, was to learn something new, and they just constantly were exchanging information. 2 Timothy 3, verse 17 says, I'll read 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And this is the part that I wanted, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And then Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." The Bible does not use the word electronics, but the Bible talks about concepts that apply to electronics. Okay, so a little bit from you. Can you give me 10 things that we use in our everyday life that you would put in the electronics category? What are some things we use?
Phones.
Computers.
Stereo.
Lights. I guess. Kind of.
Calculators.
Tablets. Well, six things is enough. Printers. Okay. Watches. Yes. Thank you. This title of the workshop says electronics, friend or enemy. So that leaves us two options, right? Friend or enemy. How many of you are comfortable putting electronics into only one of those two categories? Probably not. I think we all understand that electronics, depending how they're used, can be our friend. Depending how they're used, can be our enemy. So, just to put that into practical terms, let's talk a little bit first about, well, could two of you complete this statement for me? Electronics are our friend if... Could we have two endings to that sentence? Does anybody have a thought on that? Electronics are our friend if
they are used for God's glory.
If they are used for God's glory. Thank you. Another one? If we use it rather than it using us. Very good. I like that one. Both of them. Okay. What about the other side of the coin? What are two ways we could complete this statement? Electronics are our enemy if it becomes a time waster. What else?
It tears us down.
Thank you. We will come back to those a little bit later and talk more about those. And I want to just say here at the beginning that we must not ignore this subject. It's very, very important that we're settled in how we use our electronics. The Bible is clear that we have been made watchmen to the people that don't know Christ. Jesus said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And we all have ears and we all can hear. And we must listen up to what's going on. And so think about you as a teacher and the fact that you just might be the watchman that God gave to your students to help them discern this thing of electronics. Scary? Terrifying? Absolutely. That's an extreme responsibility. But we praise God for His power. And it's just so important that we daily ask Him for direction in this area. Daily. And we all believe that God will give us the dose that we need for that day. But you know as well as I do that in the day-to-day pressures, it does not always feel that way. I read a story about a man, an old man, that heard about airplanes being invented. And he could not wrap his mind around this thing that men could fly through the air. One day he was in his house, and his children heard an airplane coming. And so they quickly took him outside and like, "Look, Dad, there's an air," or "Look, Grandpa, there's an airplane." No, I didn't say it was his children. "So look, Dad, there's an airplane." And he looks at the airplane and watches it fly across and turns around, shakes his head, and walks back in the house. Still didn't believe it. We cannot be that way about electronics. We have to sit up and take notice with what's going on.
I don't have a question.
Go ahead.
Why were they invented?
Why were what invented? Electronics?
Yes, back in the 50s. Like entering the TVs in the Americans' home, the late 50s. The American family stood around, the classical American family, mm-hmm. stood around the TV. It was like almost like a fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, why were they invented?
Do you have an answer, or are you asking that?
I'm thinking about the answer, but I just want to open up the
yes.
an answer from others.
Okay. Yes, we'll keep that question. We'll talk about that. So the question is, why were electronics invented in the first place? So be thinking about that as we keep on going here.
Just clarification. Are you talking specifically television?
No, because the television was like the ancestor, no? Radio, no, the radio. Let's say the radio first, right?
Okay. Radio, yeah.
You have the first movies in the early 1900s, but didn't get to the bottom line of the average American, average man. But it happened with radio in their homes, in the Second World War, and then with the TV, and then it's ongoing.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that. Several goals that I have is that we would be able to leave here with a clearer picture of some strengths and some weaknesses in electronics, that you would have some resources to help your students in discerning some things here and how they can be prudent, and that you would be able to feel that you know how to use electronics in the classroom responsibly and wisely. So, we're going to talk first about the strengths and the dangers. We've talked about this already a little bit. So, a couple of you shared ways that electronics can be our friend. A couple of you shared ways that electronics can be our enemies. Listen to these verses from Revelation. "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." These people had a habit, it appears, of testing the things that came to them to see whether they were authentic or not. And Jesus commends them in that. They had tried, how did it say it there? They had tried those who said they were apostles, I think it said, or something like that. And Jesus commended them for that. But somewhere they lost their first love. Jesus also gives them a condemnation there. So just think about how that relates to electronics and how we use them. In Acts 17, it talks about the Bereans. Does anybody know what the Bereans were known for in that particular part of Acts? What does Paul commend them for?
We're checking out on Paul.
Yes. They heard something. They searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. That must be our approach when we come up against any question when it comes to electronics. One thing that came to me when I was thinking about this subject is that for every strength that we find in electronics, there is likely an accompanying weakness. And so you might think about that as two ditches, or however, whatever concept makes the most sense to you. What were the two strengths that we heard so far? Electronics are our friend if, somebody said, if they bring glory to God. And what was the other one?
If we use it rather than it using us.
Yes. What are some more? I have some written down, but I want to hear from you first. Electronics are our friend if.
I wouldn't say friend.
Okay.
You take it more too personal. You have to be a tool.
Right.
Not a friend.
Okay.
Because a friend can impact you to a certain degree at a certain moment of time.
Right.
A tool not. A tool you always use. Always
right.
use. Choose to leave it there on the shelf or to take it.
Okay.
While a friend, unavoidably, you know, after a while, gets an impact on your life.
Yeah.
So, I think this is one of the basic mistakes.
Okay.
We take the thing with the electronics to person. They are not humans.
Right.
They impact our life if
right.
we don't take care.
They
right. are tools. They have to be treated like any other tool,
mm-hmm.
like the hammer. You know. Enemy, well, the same.
Yeah.
Enemy is Satan.
Yeah.
They are tools in Satan's hands.
Yeah.
This is what I say because.
Right.
I'm more technical probably,
mm-hmm.
a little bit, when it comes
yeah.
to it. They are just objects,
mm-hmm.
but non-neutral.
Right. Okay, good, thank you. How else could we complete that statement?
If it helps us bless those we're in contact with,
okay.
or if it builds us up, but if it takes us away from those
mm-hmm.
who are around us,
mm-hmm. if it blesses those that we're with, it can be a strength. If it takes us away from them, it's a weakness. That's good. More.
So somebody was saying, I forget if it was Howard or somebody else, but was talking about pictures being worth more than words.
Mm-hmm.
And so can we say that if you use electronics, I'm thinking specifically in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
using, say, a projector to show a slideshow with your science class or geography class or something like
mm-hmm.
that, can you say that they're our friend if they help us in lesson planning, or is there a ditch we can fall in?
You heard the question. Is there a ditch we fall in? Can we say that they're our friend, or they're used as an appropriate tool if they help us plan lessons?
Well, most of the schools we teach in are not ginormous schools that have huge budgets
right.
and all of that, and especially take things like history, science.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have big science labs.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a point, I don't really feel like there's a point where, you know, if it takes. To give the whole lesson, okay, maybe, but I see a point where it becomes a negative, because often students, if they see the science experiment being done, it's almost as helpful as actually seeing a teacher do it in front of them.
Right.
We have that capability now.
Mm-hmm. And so you're saying that's a strength?
I don't know that there's a point that that's weakness.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I have an objection to the statement.
Good.
Because actually I don't agree, that was one of my challenges in the last years. I don't agree with the statement that the word, how many pictures?
The saying is a picture is worth 1,000 words. That's
okay,
the saying.
It's the opposite. A word cannot be compensated by 1,000 pictures. Because God is not, our God is not the God of an image. the other God's word. Our God is a God of word. He reveals himself to us through words, not through images. So basically, if you take it more technically and you'll search the problem a little bit, you'll see that the mental processes that are triggered in the brain by the word, just one word, are 1,000 times more complex than those areas activated in the brain that is the simplest area of the brain here, okay, somewhere, by 1,000 images. So the word values 1,000 pictures.
I think touching on that slightly, as well as the projector, I've taken a number of college classes, and when the instructor teaches exclusively with the projector, we go brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be able to impact your students the best, projectors in limited use could be an aid, but in limited use.
Do you also go brain dead if the instructor teaches only with words?
I've preferred it that way.
This,
okay.
Actually, this
especially
is
when they broke.
This is one good reason for which I appreciate the CLE curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Does contain many powerful colors and vivid pictures and all this stuff. It relies more on words and skills.
Mm-hmm.
I teach since 15 years ago, and I've seen the things changing in my country.
Mm-hmm.
15 years ago, the school books were different, more like CLE, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they are full of colors and
mm-hmm.
images. But guess what? The children are maybe in their 75% compared to those.
Mm-hmm.
But still, by the Bible, and this is just speculation if you take it by science,
mm-hmm.
by the Bible,
mm-hmm.
if you go there and look in the Bible, God will never present to himself to us through image. Never. There is one who will present himself through image in Revelation 13, if you look well. But God, our God, my personal God is a God of word, a God of meaning, of senses, of understanding, of revelation through the Holy Spirit in the word. This is how I see
mm-hmm.
it. Could be another secondary aspect about electronics
mm-hmm.
in the brain, like
mm-hmm.
the effect that one thing is to watch a video game and to be stimulated here in the brain
mm-hmm.
in a very dizzying way.
Mm-hmm.
And another way, another thing is to read your Bible in your smartphone. Yeah, so.
Maybe part of this is a understanding of the term of pictures worth 1,000 words. I think about Jesus in his parables, he drew pictures for people to simulate. He talked about the sower going out to sow and seed falling on hard path, on good soil, on stony ground, on what was he doing? It was with words, but
mm-hmm.
he was drawing pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And there is where I think Howard's statement comes into play. There are some things that I could explain in the construction world, for example, but if I take a little time and sketch it out on paper, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to bring clarity to the statements,
right.
I think we're talking maybe about two different things, a little bit.
Okay, thank you. Any more strengths that you think that you're thinking of in connection with what was shared or something else?
Communication.
Communication. That is a big one.
And one thing that has blessed me is recording.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of recordings, and I've heard WSTI from last year. But think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you talked to us, but
right.
recordings are going to go on.
Right. That's very true. It is mind-boggling to think about the tremendous distances that man has been able to figure, or has been able to communicate with things that they have sent into the outer space.
Electronics are our friend when it comes to word processing.
Word processing,
right.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Definitely can type faster than we can write. Good, more. Just a little statistic I want to share with you. Voyager 2 is a spacecraft that was sent out a long time ago, 30 years, some years ago, I think, to explore some of the planets. And it is now outside of The terms are slipping my mind. It's way out there. I'll just say it that way. On February 5, 2019, Voyager 2 was at a distance of 120 astronomical units from the sun, which that's such a big number that I can't comprehend it, but it would be like, well, I'll just write it. That many kilometers from the sun. And it says, according to what I read, Voyager 2 is expected to continue transmitting weak radio messages until at least the mid-2020s, which was 48 years after it was launched. And I just share that because we know this already, but the electronics that men have made are amazing. They have tremendous capabilities. Okay, a couple things that I thought of with this thing of strengths is we're able to communicate with people from a distance. That was already shared. We are able to have faster communication, and we're able to have portable communication, and I mean by that that we can carry around in our pocket something that was able to do things that longer ago would never have been imagined. What's the danger in communicating? Well, we already heard what the danger is in communicating from a distance. The danger there, the main danger I see, is that you will lose contact with the people close to you. It's impossible to maintain all your relationships, the ones with people far away and the ones with people near. What's the danger of fast communication?
Fast
what? Estrangement. Can you explain that?
You communicate fast, the relations become more superficial.
Yes, definitely. The relationships become more superficial.
Actually, to the point where they are not relations anymore. Mm-hmm. Just holograms.
Uh-huh.
What used to be in the past is social relations.
And I will share this. From just in studying for this exact workshop, I was almost embarrassed how difficult it was for me to sit down, even for a half an hour, and focus on this without other things getting my attention. Try it sometime. Or for an hour. Like, the discipline of applying ourselves to something for an extended period of time is being lost. You don't have to look around very far to see that.
Another thing about fast communication that has sometimes happened to me is it breeds an impatience.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these, I think actually a fair amount of these ways you communicate on your cell phone, you can tell whether your friend has looked at your message or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if they've looked at it but haven't responded, you become impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And say, well, why aren't they sending anything back to me? Especially if you ask them a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you want it now.
Yep.
And that's kind of, I think about that God.
Instant gratification, yes.
God's will is never really revealed instantly.
Right.
Because His will is often revealed slowly.
Good. Okay, let's move in now to talk a little bit about electronics connection with us and with our students. We will get to talking about how we use them in the classroom. Remember, we still have this question, how did you ask that? What was the purpose of electronics? Why were they created? Why were they invented? Okay. So in Hebrews, Paul writes, whoever wrote Hebrews, writes, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. We talked about that concept already, how we are responsible for our students in a sense. Jesus also said that anyone who offends one of these little ones, it's better for him if a millstone gets cast around tied around his neck and he's cast into the sea. That's not a very fun picture, really. The point is, it's very important how we relate to our students because we are responsible for them in a sense. Now, how many of you teach students who bring phones to school? Are there any of you? Okay, there's several.
Smartphones or phone?
Just any phone. A cellular phone.
Well, a phone is a phone, a smartphone is a smartphone.
Right. A smartphone or a flip
smartphone
phone.
Smartphone or
a mm-hmm. How many of you teach in a school where the upper grade classroom has computers has access to computers for various subjects. Okay? How many of you, as teachers, always take your phone with you to school? I'm not trying to get too personal here, but how many of you text often during the school day? Ooh, now I'm asking really personal questions. How many of you would say you text sometimes?
Well, if you have a phone, it's like me, it's harder to text. If you have a smartphone, it's easier.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I have a key, right?
Right.
Key phone.
Oh, people will text whether they have
no
a smartphone or a
phone.
Right?
Yeah. And okay. Then it's for texting.
Okay.
If you have a smartphone, it's very helpful.
Right.
It's just going on texting.
Yeah. Okay. Now, just quickly, what would you say is an appropriate age for a child to get a phone? Do you have a, just give me an age.
To get a phone to own it?
Yeah. For their own.
Or
to
use it.
No, to have one that they take with them. 16, when they have a job.
Once they're responsible
enough. Once they're responsible enough. There's not a right answer to this. I'm just asking. I want to get your feedback. Okay, thank you. I don't need to tell you that in the world around us, the young people have phones. They have electronics, and you don't have to look very far to see that. Always on their electronics. And the young people are more comfortable navigating the electronics than the older people are because they're so much more familiar with it. In a way, we have been protected from that, some, by our teaching on various things, the Anabaptists, but not completely. I'm quite certain that if I asked you, you could think of somebody in your church maybe or in another church you know of that would fit that bill of the person who's always on their phone, always. Probably you could think of someone. You've heard the statistics. There's statistics such as teens spend an average of 9 hours a day online. The average American spends 24 hours a week online. People spend around 4 hours a day on their electronic devices. Americans check their phones on average once every 12 minutes.
Well, these are. I will give another statistic. That's
okay.
Old. 2012.
Okay.
2012. It's not relevant for my country, but for U.S. Nielsen report, if you heard about it, they issue this report every 4 years.
Okay.
In 2012, they monitored basically every activity of Americans online. And July 2012, the American people spend only for social networking 230,000
years. 230,000 what?
Years. On social networking in just 1 month.
This was America, everybody in America?
Only American people.
Okay. 230,000 years.
2012 is all
right.
Number.
Mm-hmm.
You could find this in European tribunes like the Independent in UK and all this stuff. All four of them. This is how I found out.
I see.
The Nielsen report reveals it. And after the operation and the invention of Facebook, and that span of 2008-2012, because they have 4 years, the number of divorces increased by 63%, and most of the cases was because the guys or the women, they were finding the cheating partner online.
I see.
On social networking.
The facts are staggering, especially when you think of how close that might come to us, even though we don't like to admit it. So, a couple things. Make sure you're aware of whether or not your students are bringing electronics to school. You should know if they have a phone in their possession that they're bringing, or whatever, an MP3 player or anything like that. Make sure you know. You as a teacher should limit severely your time on your phone during school hours, is my personal feeling. It should be a rare thing for your students to see you talking on the phone or texting during school hours. But we know that there are times when the parent wants to contact you or the school board or something. That's legitimate. Make sure if you have computers at school that they are set up in a way that only what's needed can be done on them, such as if it's for typing, make sure they only can access typing. I don't know how to set a computer up like that, but there are people that do, to where it can be completely blocked. The only thing you can access is one or two things. Don't be afraid to talk about it with your students. My experience and my personality, but I prefer discussion about it and everybody being open and talking about it, so it's not something where there's a lot of unclear things. And talk to the school board and the parents about it. They want to know what's going on, especially if it's something that there hasn't been anything really established at your school. If you don't have any policy, use the school board and the parents as a tool for that, to help you get something set up. Okay, thoughts from you. What do you have simmering under the surface that you are wanting to say?
So I have a question.
Yes.
Regarding the whole computer situation.
Okay.
Coming from somebody in the school who, we have computers that there's ways around everything.
Right.
And there's games that you can get on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and put on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And I guess from my personal experience, tell me if I'm way off the rocker, is communication with the students and clear guidelines of what is expected while they're in computer time, rather than trying to physically block everything on the computer, a better idea.
So you're saying, is it better?
So it's about the content you're asking? It's rather about the content and not using the computer?
No, so you talk about for sure having everything blocked,
right.
But just from my experience, we had computers and we had typing options,
mm-hmm.
on there, and then they could get to their documents.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if they would have wanted to play solitaire or something,
right.
It was on the computer.
Right.
But they had clear expectations,
right.
for me that when they went to the computer, this is what was expected.
Right.
I think the easy solution to handle that is just to have direct observation.
Yes.
In Romania, more recently, there is I told this in another session before. More recently, there are a number of scientists who are coming from the hardcore of the Orthodox Church, very well trained men teaching in Greece in universities. And they are really knowing what they are saying, and they are talking about the fact that it's not a matter of time, the time or the content that the children are accessing when they go online. Simply the fact that they are attached with their eyes and brains to the screen affects the mental processes and transforms, in young ages, transforms the brain patterns in a way that will not be changed all their life. So basically, if you take it, that's why I ask why were they invented.
Mm-hmm.
If you take it technically,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much time you spend on them, no matter how mild is the content,
mm-hmm.
simply the attachment of the young brain to a screen,
mm-hmm.
brings a different development,
mm-hmm.
that is not natural.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they realize.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very radical about it, and I actually obey them. They say up to seven years, there should be no contact with the screen.
I see.
At all.
Up to 7 years.
Or we just keep it like 5 minutes per day, but I just keep it with my daughter 5 minutes per week.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that Monday I offer her like 5 minutes a week.
Right.
Because it's quite difficult to say zero.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it should be close to zero. This
mm-hmm.
is because they talk about mental processes, about the neural patterns,
mm-hmm.
and about the areas of the brain activated.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing, the areas of the brain that are not activated anymore,
right.
in the presence
mm-hmm.
presence of. And that is, guess what? The social behavior here, mm-hmm. frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. So things are proved. If you read the science in US, many of the studies mm-hmm. that come from the US, actually most of them, things are proved that they are not beneficial, mm-hmm. these devices for children.
Yeah. I think we all know that, at least to one degree or another, and we're hearing here more about how it does affect us.
Kind of a simple answer, or opinion on what Chad asked about the computer being blocked down completely. You know, we as humans we're naturally carnal, and there's nothing wrong with teaching your students to be trustworthy and saying, I'm going to trust you to do on that computer only what I tell you to do. But guardrails never hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Guardrails never hurt.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, Chad, I don't think you're ever going to hurt the process by stripping your computer down completely.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, we don't have a lot of time left. And I do want to talk yet a little bit about how this will apply to us this coming school year. I'm not going to take the time to read them, but Proverbs is packed with passages about wisdom and seeking the Lord, trusting the Lord, seeking wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Just read it. I only started reading into Proverbs and I found several passages that blessed me about wisdom. But with that, I can hear somebody stand up and talk about wisdom and they say, you got to get wisdom. But I'm like, what does that mean for me? What am I supposed to do in the situation where, whatever, you fill in the blank. Am I supposed to allow computers in the classroom? Am I supposed to allow my students to bring a phone to school? Should we get tablets? Should we use... The list could go on. So, let's see here. We know that God promises wisdom. He says in James, if you need to ask. And so I want to just emphasize the first thing we need to do in these scenarios is to pray a lot. Maybe fast if you feel the God leading you to do that, but pray a lot, read the Bible a lot. Those will help, even though it can feel kind of abstract, at least to me. It's like, the Bible doesn't talk about a cell phone, but the Bible talks about a lot of things that apply to cell phones. Okay. I'm just going to ask it this way. Well, I'm not sure how I'm going to ask it. I want to hear thoughts from you on what electronics you feel are appropriate to use as a tool in a classroom. Maybe just a little background on that, because I personally don't use very many in my classroom. I use my computer, but I don't use it during class much, hardly ever. But I know of people who use overhead projectors. Austin showed me how, when he was teaching algebra, he could project a coordinate plane on the chalkboard or the whiteboard, and then he had an example right there that he could use. I just recently talked with a teacher that said he likes to prepare PowerPoint presentations to show his students as a way of getting them interested in things. So I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think are appropriate things to use in the classroom as electronics are concerned?
For us in Romania, we don't use them at all.
Okay.
It's just simply the blackboard and the schoolboard.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
And we have regular results with them. I mean,
you what?
Academically, they go pretty well.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Language study can be a real
language
help.
Study, okay.
Still, though, they go in the office, yes, you're right, they go in the office for typing.
Okay.
And some of them, they went for Rosetta Stone, or how
that's
we call it.
Is it
yeah.
on computers?
Yeah, but the computers in the office,
right.
They spend 1 hour with.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
So I guess maybe this was more of a question if something is appropriate in the classroom, but I know last year I thought I had students started to use those scratch pads.
Okay.
That are, you know, and then that's what they use for their scratch
paper. Mm-hmm.
You can write on them. If you're familiar with them at all, but you just
yeah.
write on them like it's just a black surface that comes
and
out.
And then they can clear it with the push of a button. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's maybe thoughts like.
You're wondering if that's a good idea. there's going to be as many opinions on that as there are people in the room, but what do you guys, what do you think? I want to hear more.
It's too easy to pass notes that you can erase.
Okay. But it's pretty easy to pass notes with paper too, if you want.
They're not as easily erased.
Yeah, you can get rid of them.
It doesn't taste very good though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. You're right about that.
I teach one boy a way for the rest of the world. It's hard to learn parts.
Uh-huh.
So helpful thing is then videoing.
Okay.
The
bless you.
And
so uh-huh. Okay.
Research. I teach out of the country as well. We just simply don't have a huge mm-hmm. library.
And okay. But that would be outside of school hours, right?
No, during
you
school.
During school? Okay. All right.
Yeah, there's also, this is one thing I found as a time saver, but for checking, it can be very, very, it can save time and voice box use on your part if the student can look up and see the answer as opposed to you reading it 5 times because they didn't hear
mm-hmm.
it the first 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Good. More?
Clarification online, like for their book reports and stuff, they have to order mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you have computers at school designated for that, for research?
They have one in the house.
Okay.
Okay. I find the
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's good, but like we started typing in third grade and it's
okay.
Writing so much better.
Okay. That's interesting. The creative writing improved. Okay. Yeah. Helpful for people with some kind of a handicap, or if it's just a temporary handicap.
It's like Chromecast can be really nice too.
What did you say?
Chromecast.
Okay.
Can you like project something up on the screen
uh-huh.
you're working on, or I could use it too if I was making a drawing or something for a project. I could actually do the drawing beforehand.
Uh-huh.
And then I have
to talk
about the project to put it right up on the floor instead of trying to draw it all out and mm-hmm. ways to do stuff. Mm-hmm.
Good.
It's hard for me to sort through. It seems like the things that I use my computer for at school, preparing a science lesson like typing up my notes
mm-hmm.
or that's my word processing is often
mm-hmm.
what I use it for. And I use a computer for probably 12 years now for that kind of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
so you have efficiency on the one side, but then my mind has become less able to sit down and focus and compose with my pencil.
Mm-hmm.
I'll freely admit that. And you can say, well, you're getting older. But there is something to that screen.
There
time.
Is, yes.
And I've discovered for myself and for my students, the more they can do with their hands
mm-hmm.
that's creative. And so I really have to watch it for myself, mainly just the screen time, even
mm-hmm.
if it's something that I think is going to take less time. Sometimes it does, but
yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. I'm going to just throw this in at the end. As I said before, we can't ignore electronics. They're around us and we will be affected by them in some way or another. And someone who is going to learn how to use electronics in some way must be educated in them. They must learn how to use them. And so they're going to have to use electronics. And I'm just sharing this as an observation that if we're going to have conservative Anabaptist people who are electronic savvy, or however you want to say it, they will have to use them. Is that good? Is that bad? I'll let you discuss that after we dismiss from class. But we can't ignore them. We didn't talk about why they're invented. People will talk about it after we dismiss, I'm sure. May God give you wisdom as you seek Him in this. Trust Him. How many hearts does an octopus have? You were listening to Seth's talk the other day. He did say that. What? Yeah. And who was the first American in space? What? Alan Shepard. Thank you. You are dismissed.